Rabbi Shmuel Halpin.
Chodesh Menachemov is one of the days which is mentioned clearly in Halucha, Asif and Shulchan Aruch, Mishenichnas of Mamatim Besimcha. It's one of these famous mechabes that everyone knows about. Starting the Tkifa, we're getting nearer to Tisha B'Av. We started the 3 weeks in Shivos of Tammuz. We're getting closer and closer to the Tisha B'Av. Rosh Chodesh Av starts the 9 days when all the Haluchas of Aveilah start becoming more and more chumah. Today is a special day, besides for Rosh Chodesh. It's a Yutzat from Aaron HaKohen. It's the only Yutzat mentioned in the Torah. Parshas Matos, we just had now, last week, etc. It says that Aaron HaKohen was Nifta on Rosh Chodesh of. We know the famous categoristics, the Midas Toivas of Aaron HaKohen, the Mishnah and Uvas, Oyev Shulam, Veroidev Shulam, Oyev Sabriyas, and Mekarvan LaTorah. Aaron HaKohen was beloved to Klal Yisrael, he was beloved to everybody, from the Moir Dikahava, the Moir Dikahava's Chinam, I used to run after everybody and try and create Shulam and try and make sure that people can get along with each other. We know that the reason of the Churban Beis HaMikdash was Sinas Chinam. Maybe that's why on the same day which says in Shulchan Aruch, Mishenichnas Av, Mamatim Besimcha, we start getting less happy because coming to the Churban, and the Churban happened because of Sinas Chinam, the same day the Eibishter made, it should be the Yutzat of Aaron HaKohen, which shows us how to be Ahavas Chinam instead of Sinas Chinam. The Refiah Koidim Lamaka, the Eibishter gave us the Refiah of Aaron HaKohen's Yutzat before that happened, the whole story of Sinas Chinam, to teach us of how we can create and how we can ensure that we should be Zoicha, the Beis HaMikdash should come back again in our days. The Pirkei Avos, when it brings down this Mishnah of Aaron HaKohen, the Rashi and the Rambam in the back of the Gemara of Dezura brings down the Rishonim of Pirkei Avos. Both, what Rashi is more famous to what Rashi says, the Rambam is not so famous. I just want to say these two shtiklech of very interesting pieces which says about Aaron HaKohen. The Mishnah says, Hillel Shammai Kibla Mehem. Hillel Oime, having the Talmid of Shel Aaron, one should be a Talmud of Aaron HaKohen. Like what we said before, Oyev Shulam, Veroidev Shulam, Oyev Sabriyas, and Mekarvan LaTorah. Love peace, pursue peace, love people, and be Mekarvan to Torah. That was his middah. So Rashi says, the famous Rashi of Aaron HaKohen used to make Shulam when he found out that people had a problem, that people had a machloikas between them. Rashi says that if he found out there were two people who had a machloikas, he used to go over to each one of them without letting the other one know and say, the person who you're fighting with, let's say Reuven or Shimon, you used to go over to Reuven and tell him, you should know that Shimon sent me, that he wants to make peace, he wants to make Shulam. He doesn't want to fight with you anymore. But he's embarrassed to come over to you by himself. So he sent me a shliach to come and ask you, you should be moichel him, and you please get along together. And when he came over that way, Shteitzich Reuven already was much happier. You know, Shimon said, realized that he did something wrong, and he's saying sorry, he wants to make Shulam, okay. Then he used to go over to Shimon, he used to tell him, Reuven is very sorry that he had a fight with you, and it will machen Shulam. And that way he used to get them both to come together to make Shulam. But here the Rashi adds on another piece, which I don't think I ever knew. Rashi says that somebody told his wife, as I don't let you, I'm making a neder, and I don't let you have any hanur from me until you spit in the eye of the Kohen Gudel. And Aaron heard about it. He went over to that lady and he told him, I have a problem in my eye. I have some type of an infection, some type of a problem in my eye. And your spit, which is coming out of your mouth, your spit will be a refiah for it. That will be a medicine in order to make my eye better. Ask your toiva, please, could you spit into my eye in order to that it should be better? And that's why that was the middle of Aaron HaKohen. Imagine the good Ladoir, Moshe and Aaron, whole of Klal Yisrael knew this, the good Ladoir. Imagine one of our Gedoy Ladoir nowadays. And we hear that two people, well, these type of people who are having such type of fights, obviously aren't the Oscar Arbiter type of people in Klal Yisrael. And all of a sudden she goes along to this person, knocks on the door, and tells them, you know, degrades himself in such a matter, in such a way, which is unbelievable. And that's where Rashi brings down over here, v'yifkoyz kol beis Yisrael echad anushim v'echad anushim. That when Aaron HaKohen was nifta, it says that the men and the ladies cried over him. But when Moshe Rabbeinu was nifta, it says only the men cried over him. Because Aaron HaKohen had this special middah of oyev shulim v'roidev shulim. That's the more famous one. The Rambam says over here that Aaron HaKohen used to do also something else. Now Aaron HaKohen, this what we just said now was in the oyev shulim v'roidev shulim part. But the Mishnah says also, umekarvan the Torah. Aaron HaKohen used to make that people should do tshiva, should come closer to Torah. How did he do that? So the Rambam says, when he felt that somebody did an aveira, or somebody, he found out about somebody that he does aveiras, he went over to him, and he started to be mekarv him. He started to befriend him. He started to talk nicely to him. He started to, and this person felt very uncomfortable with himself. Here I'm somebody who's doing aveiras, and Aaron HaKohen is coming over and befriending me. If he would know what I'm like really inside, he would run a mile. A lot of us know that if people would know what we are like inside, we'd be very embarrassed. It's one of the things why the Eibishter makes that not everybody else can read somebody else's thoughts. It's something that if we get nervous, somebody else is going to know who we are. And this person's feeling all bad with himself. Aaron HaKohen is being makar of me. If he would know who I am, he'd run a mile. And through that, through the greater kirva that Aaron HaKohen used to give them, that he felt all bad in himself, he did tshiva, that he should deserve such a kirva from such a good ladoir. There's a different way of giving misa. It's one type of giving misa. You go up to somebody and you give him a whole misa drusha. Aaron HaKohen did it in such a beautiful way. He made the first appeal. In Yiddish, you tell somebody it's pasnished. What does pasnished mean? It's not befitting. That is the same. It's not Aaron HaKohen did it on much more of a elevated level, but it's the same type of a way. You can tell somebody you're no gooder and what you're doing is no good, or you can tell them you're so good that the action that you're doing doesn't befit who you are. Aaron HaKohen used to tell the people, used to make them feel so good to themselves that they ended up having to do tshiva. That's the same type of thing maybe we ask the Eibishter to do to us also. And he did nefesh, we sing he did nefesh in Shal Shidas, other people say before Hoidi every day. We say in the middle of Keilna Rafunala, Baharis La Noam Zivecho. Eibishter, give us a refiah, give the neshama, we're talking about the neshama, give the neshama a refiah. How should you give a refiah? You can give it bitter medicines, you can give it very strong drugs. We don't ask that from the Eibishter. We say, Baharis la noyam zivecho. Show the neshama the pleasure and the beauty of your shine. And through that way, she'll become better. How will she become better that way? If we see such a shine kite from the Eibishter, and the person realizes how many toivis is getting from the Eibishter, how much is getting out from how much Eibishter is giving him and how much he's showing him, automatically feels bad with himself, turns around, he does tshiva and he feels better. Bother me slightly, it's not really a kasha, but a little ha'ura. Rashi brings down this famous Rashi we just said, that Aaron HaKohen used to make shulam through going tricking the people. He used to go over to Reuven and tell him Shimon wants to make shulam. He used to go to Shimon and say Reuven wants to make shulam. It's a little bit of a Geneva's Das, a little bit of a Nishka Masa Emes. But Emes, the Gemara says, as Mitel Shalnois, Mabdei Darke Shulam, one's allowed to say a lie because of Darke Shulam. As I said, it's not a kasha. But it's a ha'urla. Why could Aaron HaKohen go on such a way? A befrat, there's mamash a duva be'itoy, see someone at Siyat HaRishmaya, you see often, as on the Daf Yoimi on Shabbos, the Gemara Sanhedrin Davuv, and there the Gemara brings down a pusik on Aaron HaKohen. The Gemara is talking about there whether one can make a pshura, when two people come to Bezdin and they're having a fight between them, whether one is allowed to make a pshura between them, whether it's a mitzvah to make a pshura, you're not allowed to make a pshura. But one of the Maruim brings down, one of the Gemurah brings down over there on Pusik, as Aaron HaKohen was the Oyev Shulim, Roidev Shulim, because it says in Pusik, Toyres Emes Hoysa Befi, but Avlo Linimtza Besvusov. He had the Toyres Emes, he had Emes like a Toyre in his mouth, and he never found any Avlo with what he said. Shulim beBemisha Holach Iti. Aaron HaKohen went with me beShulim, and in a straight way, where Rabim Heishiv Meuven, and he returned a lot of people from doing aveiros. The Gemara brings down a pusik on Aaron HaKohen to say that he was Midas Emes, he was Toyres Emes. So, if he was Toyres Emes, then maybe he could have found a different type of a way to make Shulim. Like he went on such a path, just a Remes Ladova maybe. Because that's what they really want to do. You're right. The question is whether you're getting to do it a way, a different way, or if he was going on a different path. Just remember, just a thought. If one thinks into it, most machlokes start with misunderstandings. So we hear something that I heard that Yankel said about me, this and this and this. You look at Chofetz Chaim and Hilchos Chofetz Chaim and Hilchos Lashon Hara, we're full of it. Somebody said about me this, somebody said about me that. And there's so many different types of things which if you don't hear the tune, if you just read it and you don't hear the niggun, you don't hear the tune, you got it wrong. And even sometimes the guy did mean it, but he didn't know what was going on in your life, and he didn't know what you are, and he didn't know how you could be Donnikav's chis, and he didn't know this, and he didn't know that. And normally one person hears some comment that somebody else said about him, and then he goes over and has a fight with him, how could you say something like that? Another person comes with him all angry, he goes in for emphas, and the machlokes gets bigger, and it grows and it grows and it grows, until they end up having, we have a mesorah that us two don't get along, even though nobody even remembers what the whole machlokes started from. Sometimes you have such a thing we can go for years and years and years, but they all forgot. It grows hands and feet, and it grows and it grows. But Emes, most machlokesim become from misunderstandings. Where do we get a misunderstanding? How does a misunderstanding foster into a big argument and a big machlokes? It only can get into a big machlokes if one lets it grow there. If you nip it in the bud, as they say in English, and you catch it. And you go over to the person who you heard something about, and you say, Rebbe Reuven, I heard that you said something like this, or I felt that you're not so happy with me, or I felt you have a tana, or I understand that you're not smiling at me like you used to smile recently. And you go over to him and you talk things through, 99% of times, everything will get solved very quickly. But when you let it grow, and it goes over days and weeks and months, afterwards it's very difficult. Each person's covered is ready. He's climbed up a tall tree, and it's very hard to back down. But if we'd still be on branch number one, it would be much easier for him to give in. That's the teva dvorim. That's a human nature. And because of that, is the whole machlokes generally comes out. But emes is often a pusik in the Torah about this nekida. We have a lav in the Torah, lo sisno in kedoshim, lo sisno sachicha b'vavecho, lo chiach tchiach esamisecho, ve lo sisno olav chait. You know how to hate your brother in your heart? You should tell him off, misa, when you see he does something wrong. You shouldn't cause yourself to have an avera. When you tell him mitzvah, make sure you don't embarrass him. That's a pusik in kedoshim. You're not to hate your brother in your heart. Only in your heart you're not to hate him. You're not to hate him at all. What do you mean not to hate him in your heart? It's the Rashbam of Platz and the Aruch HaKadosh say both beautiful things. Rashbam says, what should you do? Don't keep the hatred of your brother in your heart. Why? Give him mitzvah al masha usa and what he did to you. If you're carrying around a grudge against somebody in your heart, but you go with him, you talk it through with him, and you tell him off, why did you do such a thing to me? From that you'll create shulam. And human tendency is to back off. If we've got somebody we have a bad feeling of, we try to avoid them. Why should I get myself into a tricky and a difficult situation and going to speak to them about it? It's a very difficult thing to do. But if one brings himself to do that one step, most times, be able to breathe from then on. Mechaydik, you go up to somebody, you realize it was nothing. The Recham HaKudosh says it in a bit langa riches. He says, through telling the person off, through going over to the person and telling him off, why did you do something like this to me? You'll end up with one of two things. Either the person will tell you a reason why he did it, and you realize that was nothing wrong what he did. He was correct in what he did. You'll understand it. You just had a misunderstanding of what was going on. Oy, you know what could happen? He'll tell you 100% right. I'm very, very sorry. I made a mistake. Please be moichel me. And they'll become friends again. One of those two options. But either of those two options, the machlokes will stop. If he doesn't go over to him, though, and the machlokes grows, then it's much more difficult. Lack of communication causes problems. That's the bottom line. We see a few times this type of thing. So in Dora Fluger, we see also, they got together, united front, we're all going to go and fight against the Eibishter. And the Eibishter wanted to stop it. How do you get people to stop working together? You get them to fight. If they have a machlokes, they don't work together. The quickest way to stop a project going on, if there's a few askunim coming together to do something, a good thing, the quickest way, if you don't want them to do it, is get one of them to have a fight with the other one, and within a few days the whole thing is finished. The machlokes stops things growing. The Eibishter wanted to stop this big migdal, this big tower, he wanted to stop it growing. What did he do? He didn't kill them. He just changed the languages. All of a sudden, they couldn't communicate. There's no communication. Within 2 minutes, there were stones and hammers and claws flying. There were things flying all over. There were people dying like flies. Lack of communication causes machlokes. Then it was a good thing it caused machlokes. And same thing was by Bilam. We see the same type of thing. Bilam was coming along to curse the Eden. He's on his way on his faithful donkey, which he's been riding on since many, many years, and all of a sudden donkey stops, as donkey goes off to the field, and Bilam gets angry and he starts hitting him. And then he goes over to a thinner place where there was a thin path, and he crushes his leg. It wasn't just a simple crush, he limped for the rest of his life on that. That's probably somewhere to be nowadays, are going to hospital for a few weeks. He crushed his leg, and Bilam got angry and he started to hit him. And the third time, when he sat down, then he went wild. And what happened? Why was that machlokes? It was pushed a misunderstanding. They used to get along for so many years. But Bilam didn't understand what was going on. His donkey started to communicate with him. That was a chiddush. But as soon as he started to communicate, all of a sudden he understood everything. With one word, he said, what's going on? All of a sudden, there was no fight. So generally in life, one has to choose. If we want to behave like a donkey that we're not capable of talking, which is very, very difficult sometimes, but we're not capable of communicating, we can't get past that stage one. We have machlokes which you can't get rid of. On the other hand, if we can communicate, then we end up doing this, getting to a state that we have peace, and we have shulam, we have shalva, we have menichas ha-nefesh. Aaron HaKohen, when he went to make shulam, he wasn't l'choira, he wasn't using any middas ha-sheker at all. He was simply using the same middah and the same character trait that caused the whole fight Aaron HaKohen used to solve it. He didn't come up with some new thing and started to trick people into things. Your fight came from being tricked. Reuven, you thought that Shimon said this about you. Shimon, you thought that Reuven said this. You thought he meant this. You thought he did this. You thought he went here. You thought he went there. You thought that when your business deal didn't go through, it's because Yana put his foot in the way. It's not even true. It's not to do with him. Something else did it. Somebody else did it. So Aaron HaKohen used the same middah of Genevas Das, the same middah of misunderstanding that the people used to get into the fight. Aaron HaKohen used that same thing to get out of the fight. I don't know whether we can say such a thing is not begedem emes. Faket, it's the most emes that there is. In the same way they went in, they traveled exactly the same road of the way out. Today's also the yutat of Reb Shlomo Bobover, was bavist, he was grein amoyedike oyev shulam. It's a famous story, I hope I get it right, I think everybody knows it, but it's a nice story and it's worth saying over. Once in the middle of the night, there was a smash in the front of his house. There was some type of a political fight going on in the area, in the town. I don't know what the Prutim were. I'm sure Reb Shlomo Bobover would prefer we wouldn't know the Prutim. And somebody decided that he was angry at Reb Shlomo Bobover and threw a stone through his window. In the middle of the night, there was a crash, he had a broken window. Reb Shlomo Bobover found out, he called up a Haimish younger man who repairs windows, a glazier, and he asked him, could you please come around and repair my window? He called him up in the middle of the night. This fellow got a shock. The Rebbe called him up in the middle of the night to come repair his window. He said, I'll come first thing in the morning, I'll come to repair it. He said, no, I need you to do me a toiva. Please come now. I need you to come now. 3 o'clock, whatever it was, in the middle of the night, I need you to come now to repair the window. And he explained to him that there's a fight going on, and somebody, one of those parties, has done this. If the other side finds out about it, it's going to be a match to ignite a huge bonfire. It's going to go wild. There's got to be, by the morning time, when people are up on the street, the window is complete again, there's no simon that something happened. Oyev shulam and aroid of shulam. Human tendency is that we all think we are the center of the universe. Anybody who's slightly to the right of us is fachniokt. I don't know how you say fachniokt in Yiddish, in English. But somebody, an extreme frimmer, whatever, that's how we are. We all believe that we travel down the center road. And anybody slightly to the left is modern, is off, is whatever, however you want to describe it. That's our human tendency to believe that we're always centered in the middle. Really is, Baruch Hashem, the world isn't so boring. If it would all be the same, it would be a very boring world. And we have lots of different machshuvas, there's lots of different types and stripes. And everybody and everyone is going on their path to serve the Eibishter. Everyone that's Yid Bei Shvutim, everyone has their way and everyone has their path. And not everybody who's a bit more, a bit less than me, is wrong. If anybody's wrong, it's probably myself. But if it's not myself, if I'm correct, then they're probably also all correct. There's the Biyana Rebbe, Zecharin Levrucha, used to say a saying which captures this thing. You're allowed to have chiliki dayas as long as one condition, you don't have period levuvas. You can have chiliki dayas, full the gemura, open up a piece of gemura. If somebody would walk into a base medrash, yeah, and you'd see the people fighting, they think the World War III is about to break out. But it's not true what they're fighting about, chiliki dayas. I've got this tzvura, you've got that tzvura. I think and understand pshat, but they love each other. There's not a single period of levuvas involved. That's generally our look on life. It's got to be we can have chilikid days. We and Rebbe Shlitas have a nice remez on this nekida. We look at our tefillin. There's tefillin shel rosh and tefillin shel yad. We know that both of them have Arba Parshias. In Tefillin Shirosh, the Arba Parshias are split into four batim. It's four different compartments, each parsha is written separately. And Tefillin Shaliyad, all the four parshas are written in one long klaf, and they all put into one bias. So Tefillin Shaliyad, which is Tefillin Shirosh, which is Keneged the Moyach, like we say in the Shem Yichud, is Taka four parshas. You're allowed to have Chilike Dais. You're allowed to have lots of different Das. There's allowed to be four different ways of looking at something, on one condition. That the Tefillin Shaliyad, which is Keneged Alev, that's got to be one. As long as your Chilike Dais, you can have one tonight. But if you're going to end up with Pirid Levuvas, then don't start with your Chilike Dais. What really comes out from it, what's the easiest, the way, the path that we have to, all of us, first one got to work is being Donlekav Schiz. Misunderstandings come because I heard somebody said something, I heard somebody thought something. So I can get upset and go over him and talk it through. Well, there's an easier option than going and talking it through. It's not getting upset in the first place. Donlekav Schiz. Donlekav Schiz, the Yesod of Shulam. If one judges everyone to the benefit, and not just you see somebody else does something wrong, or even does the shimon. When somebody does something wrong to oneself, somebody comes over and did something to me, somebody hurt me, somebody said something about me, somebody did something which was against me, somebody ruined my business deal, somebody bought that house which I had my eye on for so long and I'd worked so hard on it. Donlekav Schiz would solve all the different problems which somebody would have. It's very often very difficult. But the yesod of Donlekav Schiz is an ayin toive. One has a good eye. In Yiddish you say, one fagins one the other. How do you say in English, fagin? It's like it's one of these Yiddish words. Huh? No, it gives him with his whole... You know what? I don't know how to say fagin. Fagin is one of these words which doesn't go. But I want...
No such thing in English.
But I wanted to bring out one nikkuda, just a thought. Again, I'm not saying that it's my thoughts correct. But generally, we look at the middah of faginning, of being, you know, somebody, fagin, just what it means is somebody bought himself a new car. You know what? He's such a nice person. He does so many toivas for everybody. You know, he deserves it. He deserves such a good car. The word fagin, he deserves it. That's how I look around things. Generally, we look at such a middah, it's a gewaldige middah. Somebody looks around, every toivah that he says somebody else has, he deserves it. It sounds good. But if you think a little bit deeper into it, it's a very interesting thing. I turn around and say, Yankel deserves his new car, what have I done? I mean, I've made a din Torah, I've gone through all of Yankel's mitzvahs, all of his avayers, I've gone through what he does deserve in life, what he doesn't deserve in life, and I've paskened that Yankel deserves his new car. He deserves the good shidduch he made, he deserves the house he just bought, he deserves the business deal that he managed. Who am I to make up that Yankel deserves something? I'm the din, I'm the dayan. What is it my business and what is my opinion worth to go and say something about somebody else? He deserves it. You know what? He deserves that good car. What do you mean he deserves it? Who are you to say he deserves it? I'm not talking about anybody else. But if one thinks about it, this middle of being this really what we mean when we say it, hopefully what we mean when we say it, it's not that he deserves it. We're happy for him. But the two things are a world apart. That's telling somebody he deserves it because it's a thought that sometimes goes through somebody's mind. That person always is out helping somebody else. He deserves sometimes a nice thing for himself. What we really want to be is without judging him. Doesn't matter what the fellow does. I don't know what he does. I don't know what he doesn't do. But I'm happy for him. He bought himself a new car. He went on a nice holiday. He made himself a bomber shidduch. His boys got accepted to the yeshiva that my son didn't get accepted to. I'm happy for him. Forget deserving. I am happy for him. And that again is mamish the middah of today's yutzos of Aaron HaKohen. Aaron HaKohen, Moshe Rabbeinu was told by the Eibishter to go to Mitzrayim and take out the Eden. And he told him, don't worry about Aaron. V'ra'ach of a sumach b'liboy. Aaron HaKohen is going to be happy for your success. If we picture what went on, it's phenomenal that Aaron HaKohen was happy. He didn't turn out that Moshe deserves it. He was happy for him. Happy means that there was one position available. Imagine there was one position available who can run the company, or who can be the Rosh Hashiva, or who can be the Magachia, or whatever it is. There's one position available. And there's a choice, there's a few candidates. And there's one person who succeeded. And the person who succeeded is the younger brother of the one who wanted to get the position, or the one who could have also got the position, the two people who belonged, who could have got rightfully earned this position. And Aaron HaKohen, not only wasn't he upset that his younger brother took out his feet from underneath him, it didn't turn around to say, you know what, I'll still smile at you and I'll still pretend that I'm happy. I won't even say you deserve it. I'm plain and simple happy. It's a shver midah, But if one gets used to it, whenever we see something good by somebody else, just to think, I'm so happy for them, without going into any other lines underneath it, what, when, and how, it's generally, over the time, it builds up, and it's much easier to be happy for somebody else. Sinas chinam, we said, is comes out from hating somebody else, and there's a lot of steps along the way. It doesn't have to be one hates somebody else, but one has to be extremely careful about somebody else's kuvud. We know ben un lachaveiroi is a deraisa. There are so many deraisas and derabunans in the Torah, but we're so makpid generally. And when it comes to mitzvahs ben udam lamukem, we buy a lila and an esrog. Even when the first day of sikkus is on a Shabbos, we'll spend a lot of money on an arba minim. There's no deraisa and arba minim that year because mitzvahs chavivas. Yiddish kinder love mitzvahs, and we spend money on them, we do lots of efforts on them, we do. When it comes to Benun Lechavayra, we have an opportunity every single second, whenever we interact with somebody else, we're dealing with plain and simple deraisas. I don't know if there are any derabunans, or kumat no derabunans when it comes to Benun Lechavayra. Everything is deraisas, not to chep with somebody else. And to be extremely careful with the kuvud of somebody else. This week's Sedron, Devorim, the beginning of Devorim, the first Pusik, the Moshe Rabbeinu tells the Yidden a whole long list of words. I don't remember, Bein Teufel, Bein Luvam, V'chatzeris, V'dizuv, I don't remember the whole Pusik. Is Rashi explains to us that each one of those words is a remez to one of the places where the Yidden did an Avaira. So we heard once in the Bi'an Rebbe Shlita, he said, he asked the Kasha, what's going on over here? Why is it only B'derech Hermiza? Because he didn't want to embarrass the Eden. See, he mentioned all the Averis only with Derech Remez. That's only good for somebody who stops after the first Pusik in Dvorim. But if you keep on going, Dvorim v'eschanan, which Rabbeinu goes and gives Mesa to the Eden, Baruch Bitcha Ketana, he tells them exactly what he did, exactly what they did, how they didn't do this right, and how they didn't do that right, and they went did the Meraglim, and they went and did this Averis and that Averis. What happened to the Derech Remez? He started off only with Derech Remez, only to give them Remuzim, and all of a sudden, he carried on the parasha, you see that the Remez went out the window, and all of a sudden, Moshe Rabbeinu is giving them. So he said a beautiful gedank. It says in Chazal, "Kashen she mitzvah loy maduva she nishma, kach mitzvah loy maduva she ena nishma." We have a mitzvah, chech tchir sam yisrechu. It's only a mitzvah to sell somebody a mitzvah if he's going to listen to you. If he's not going to listen to you, there's a mitzvah not to say it. There's a famous story, one of the Vision Serebas, I think they have a shulam, I don't remember, one of the Vision Serebas. The famous story that he once told his gabba once in the middle of winter, come, we're going to visit this and this banker. There was a banker, a moderna yid, or somebody who was not really showing Torah mitzvahs. He used to run a bank, and he told them we're going to go and visit him. So, the gabba had no idea what it was. They went out, it was a cold winter, put on the thick fur coats, and they went and came to the fellow's door. He had their chairs for Rebbe's and for Talmidei Chachamim. It was a big covert for him. The Rebbe came and knocked on his door, and he opened the door, he got a shock. What's the Rebbe doing here? And the Rebbe said, he just wants to talk to him a bit, and he wants to discuss something with him. So they came inside, and they sat down. And as they were sitting down, they both sat down at the table, and it's quiet. And this Yid, this banker, doesn't say anything, has their chairs, waiting for the Rebbe to start saying something. And he doesn't say anything. Goes over a minute, two, start getting to an uncomfortable silence. And it keeps on going longer and longer and longer, and after a few minutes, the Rebbe stands up and starts to walk out. And the Yid doesn't know what's going on. So what's going on, Rebbe? What's going on? He said, I tell you, push it. Chazal tell us the mitzvah to tell mitzvah if somebody's going to listen. Same as a mitzvah not to say something if someone's not going to listen. If I sit by myself at home and I don't tell you mitzvah, I haven't not told you anything. I've just sat myself at home. I came to your house and I kept quiet and I didn't tell you what I need to tell you. Because I know you won't listen to me anyway. So therefore I was makai my mitzvah now, I'm not telling you mitzvah. Obviously this fellow got extremely curious. What do you mean, Rabbi? I'm going to listen to you. He said, you're not going to listen to me. I know you're not going to listen. I don't want to ruin my mitzvah. I'm not to tell you something you're not going to listen to. And he carried on walking home. And this fellow runs after him down the street. And he begs him, and he begs him, and he begs him, and he begs him. Until he turns around and tells him, you know, I'll tell you. But you promise me you're going to listen. You have to listen. There's a poor lady who owes a mortgage to your bank. And she doesn't have the money to pay it off. And your bank is about to take her house away from her. She's not going to have a roof over her head. And she's going to be stuck. I need you to wipe off the debt. Hey Rebbe, I can't do that. I'm not the owner of the bank. I'm the director. I run it and I help, but I'm not the owner. I can't just wipe off somebody else's debt. So I told you you're not going to listen to me. I told you the whole time. That's why I came to you and I didn't say anything. Why do you tell me the whole time? You pressure me to tell you. And this person, Taka, did a gross mitzvah and he wiped out the debt. But it brings out this mitzvah of not telling Mr. somebody who's not interested. So the Rebbe said, on this Pusik, Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to know do the Yidden interested in hearing Misa, or they don't want to hear? If they don't want to hear, there's nothing to tell them. It's a mitzvah not to say anything. How will you see if they want to know? First he told them everything but Derech Remez. He just mentioned the names and the places. And he saw that the Yidden didn't turn off and walk away. They were interested. Rebbe, let's hear what you have to say. Azoy, you taka want to hear the Misa? Then he gave you the Misa. Azoy, v'staf sezan. Just thought but Derech Remez, maybe you could say another pshat in that, as one has to be extremely covered about, extremely careful about somebody else's covered, is the same issue. And you want to tell, taka the mitzvah in the Torah, you see somebody doesn't do something correct, one has to give a mitzvah. It's not optional, by the way. It's a mitzvah, I say, the reitzah, one has to give mitzvah. How he gives mitzvah? He's got to do it in a way, the guy won't be embarrassed, he's not going to be upset at him that he did it. Sometimes one has to be an extremely clever person in order to be mekayim both of those things together. If you can't be mekayim l'sisal of chet, he has no mitzvah. But first the Torah is telling us and showing us in Parshas Devarim, first hint to somebody. Very often the smallest hint is enough to correct somebody's path. You have somebody who did something wrong and you go to him and you make a huge demonstration outside his house to tell him how wrong he did, when you could go simply over to him and tell him a small comment, the slightest comment. Obviously, you've got to try with the slightest comment in order to give him the mitzvah. Maybe that's what the Torah is just giving us, showing us. First you try with Derech Remez, and then if it doesn't go, then you give the proper mitzvah that we see Vato in the parasha. It's Ben Absurim. That's really was half the Rosh meant to be Ben Absurim. I see I'm over talking. It's not good at time scheduling. But just a few words on Bein Amtsurim. We know that 3 weeks are extremely difficult time for Klal Yisroel, and we look at it as an extremely dark period in Klal Yisroel, which is totally true. It's Emes, we start the Mitzvah Avelis, we start in Shivus of Tammuz, and it grows in Shchodesh Uv, and it gets worse Erev Tisha B'Av and Tisha B'Av itself. It goes more and more and more. Because the essence and the makor, the who Klal Yisroel is, was the shaychus they had with the Eibusher together by the Shechina, which was Shuri in the Beis Hamikdash. When that was ripped out, when that was destroyed, it wasn't just destroyed some nice fancy palace we had. It was destroyed our very essence and our very fiber of our being. And that's why Yidin Takasit and Ms. Abel, so many years later, 1900 and something years later, will still be Ms. Abel, Churban Abayis. But the Heilige Rishon has said that even though these days are so dark, Be'emes, they are very, very, very special days. Each one of them has, he said over from his father, the Heilige Groyser Reb Shulam, that these days are, from the days of Bein Amtsurim, from the days of the 3 weeks, he used to know how his human Toivim would look like. How is Rosh Hashanah, his Yom Kippur, his Sikkis, his Ishan Rabbah, his Simchas Torah, how that would look like, he knew according to how the 3 weeks went. The Heilige Rishon said, and I say that the 3 weeks are inside every single day of the 3 weeks is hidden a diamond. A diamond which is buried deep under the Huri HaChoshech, but there's a diamond hidden inside every day. And the Eibishters can be made on myself, he said, that when I was a younger and I still had koichas, every day I felt a new oir, a new lechtikait, a new special light, and every day of the 3 weeks, and every day of the 9 days, and every day of these days which are hidden. And Be'emes Chazal tell us that Tisha B'Av is a moed, it's a yom tov. What do you mean it's a yom tov? We don't see much of a yom tov. But Tisha B'Av is a moed, it's a really a yom tov. And when it turns around, Mitzvah Mashiach is going to come, it's going to be a moedik a yom tov. It's kura lai moed, it's going to be a moed bisgali, it's going to be a revealed yom tov. It's going to be a Yom Tov, which will be one of the happiest days in the year, in Klal Yisroel's year. The Rebbe, Yana Rebbe Shlita once said a beautiful thought on Parshas Pinchas, which we just saw about all the kabunas of Misaf, is a very interesting thing. Through each of the Parshas, as a pay or a samach. Every Yom Tov, every Shabbos, or Shchodesh, Yom Tov, is a new Parsh in the Torah. As a pay or a samach, a pay is a psicha, and a samach is a stima. Psicha means it's open. One till the end of the line or from the beginning of the line. As the steamer, it's closed from both sides. It's only a gap in the middle of the line. Once it finishes Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh, those are both psichas. Once it starts the Yomim Tovim, all the parashas are steamer. Every parasha after we start the Yomim Tovim is a steamer. It's a samach. Except for once. There's only one difference in all the order of all the Yomim Tovim. Is after Shvius, before Rosh Hashanah. There's a psicha. Said there's a remez, that from Shemayim, they left that part of the Yom Tov, of that part of the year was still left open. Because Be'ez Hashem Yizburuch, when Mashiach will come, another Yom Tov is going to slip in there between the two. Between Shvius and between Rosh Hashanah is going to come another Yom Tov, it's going to come a Yom Tov of Tisha B'Av, which we know now if we cry in Tisha B'Av, then it's going to be Yom Tov, it's going to be a Moedik Yom Tov. Shimshon Pinkus has a beautiful thought that with a little boy who went over to his father and said, all my classmates have a nice bike. They all got this new trend, it's a new bike, and I want a bike. And his father tells him, very happy to give you what you need, but a bike is not on the list right now. And he cries and he begs, but it doesn't help. There's no bike at the present moment. He goes to bed all upset. In the middle of the night, he wakes up and he starts crying. He has a stomachache. They rush him off into hospital and he has an appendix. They need to get a private doctor. And they need to get... All of a sudden, 1 minute, from the father who a few hours ago didn't have the £100 for the bike, all of a sudden he spent £10,000 on him without blinking an eyelid. He spent much more than that. He could spend £100,000, spend £500,000. He'll go and make collections. He'll do everything he can to save his child, to help his child out. What happened between the two? Something very simple. Every parent loves their child. We have huge storehouses of love, of ava, which we have to our children. But they're normally covered on a regular day-to-day life. We don't feel them. That's why sometimes there's a child who go away and they come back from yeshiva after being away for half a year. You feel a moedic love. What happened? Because you haven't seen them for so much, it uncovers a little bit of that love which we have for them. When it comes a matzav a sakuna, when it gets to a state where there's a danger to one's child, that's when the storehouses of love get uncovered and they come rushing out in torrents. Therefore, when this child was in a sakuna, this child was in danger, he needed this operation for himself, all of a sudden, nothing was important anymore, money is worthless when it comes to such a situation, and he's ready to spend whatever it is. Kivyuchel Aivishta, Itaka had to punish us. And that's why he came to Churban Abayis. But when he came to Churban Abayis, and Aibisha turned and started to give all these Yisirim Nebuch and Klal Yisrael, Klal Yisrael ended up being an extreme matzav of danger. The amount of tzuris that Klal Yisrael went with then, like our generation can feel a little bit along what we heard from our fathers, our zaydas, what they suffered 60 years ago, is we have an inkling of what went on by Churban Abayis. The Gemara says that the Harigim were so many that the blood went up to the height of the horses' nostrils that were charging through, killing the Eden. And he took boulders weighing 40 su and rushed them down, miles and miles down the paths in the stream of the blood which went from Klal Yisrael. It's not exaggerations, it's literally things which happened. And the Eibishter Kevyuchel saw such tzuras, it was his own children being punished, his own children are suffering so much. The Ahava which he had to Eden got revealed in such a gewaldig way. The Chazal tell us that the Krivim, always, whenever they did the Ritzonei Shalmukim, they looked at each other. Whenever the Eden didn't do the Ritzonei Shalmukim, they looked away. The one time in Klal Yisrael when they should be looking away should have been by Churban Abayis. And Aibish went and destroyed the Beis Hamikdash because of it. And Chazal tell us that when by Churban Abayis they took the Urin out, the Krivim were looking at each other. Because this was this Moedik Liebschaft, this Moedik Ahava, this love which the Aibish felt then for his children which are suffering. He had to make them suffer, but now that they're suffering, he felt such a love for them. And this is the love, and this is the Ahava, which is every single year comes out again on Tisha B'Av. This is something which is, we can tap into, when we sit on the floor and cry, it's only crying to show how special and how much Aibishta loves us. Otherwise, there'd be no reason for us to cry after so many years in Gulas. Who cares about some palace that burnt down so many years ago? And Aibishta Zahofen, we should be Zoycha to have Fleishige Tisha B'Av, we should be able to be Prava, Moed, Peshitoi, we should be Simcha V'Susan La Yehidim.